Hey guys, have you ever cried because you laugh so hard at something so stupid? Well, you will with Cup to Cup. It's the comedy podcast. It's kind of like a late night talk show with a Wayne's World twist. They are changing the comedy podcast scene. It's geared to entertain, laugh, and get you through the daily grind. And no, don't worry, it doesn't have anything to do with two girls in one cup. This show is anything but dull. Cup to Cup has incredible stories, discussions, and topics that we've all thought about, but we've never said out loud. Seriously, there's nothing off limits with these guys except for one thing, politics. But no one needs it, and they don't talk about it. And the show takes on a whole new meaning to March Madness brackets. Instead of basketball, they let the listeners vote on the bracket subjects and rank the matchups. Think about the last debate you had. Let's say it was about the best Marvel character or movie. Now put that in a bracket. So guys, check them out by searching for Cup to Cup Comedy on any podcast app.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Thursday, March 28th, 2019. Thank you for joining me. 10 days to WrestleMania. 10 days. And for those baseball fans out there like myself, it is opening day. Yeah, baseball season is back. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, it's here for another 162 games plus postseason. So personally, I love it, but I understand that there are many out there that think baseball's boring and think that it is a season that is way too long. And I guess I understand some of those arguments. But if you love baseball, you love today. And it is it's a crazy time right now, especially with professional wrestling, and that's why you're here. You're not here to talk about baseball. We are here to talk about wrestling, professional wrestling, and it is it's WrestleMania season, which means there are no shortage of things to talk about. I have so many notes, but I will spare you the length of a long podcast just to be long. I'm going to get to the very unexpected Charlotte win for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Samoa Joe, who's just on an incredible losing streak and continues to lose despite having a championship. Kofi Mania is now back. It is here to stay for those of you who are just anxious to get to the point where we all know Kofi's going to get. Well, we're there, and I'm going to talk about all that. The Triple H promo, Vince McMahon, who is just, I don't know where his brain is at these days. Just so much. Elias and who is going to interrupt him at WrestleMania. So a ton of stuff. But let me set the table. This is the WWE Podcast. And what that means for you is I am available twice a week and more next week, as it is a WrestleMania week. I'm going to be doing several interviews, several co-hosts, bringing you guys the most coverage I can give you from my brain and from others' brains, which is typically a more favorable thing rather than just hearing me drone on about things. You get perspectives from other people. Some may be new guests, some will be returning guests, and I'm excited to be able to give you guys a ton of content next week, along with an official WrestleMania preview and prediction show, which with how long WrestleMania is right now, I think it's 13 matches long plus pre-show. It's going to be a long preview show and long prediction show. And when I say long, probably more than my typical 30 to 45 minutes, more like hour and a half time frame is what I'm thinking. And so that's good or bad, I don't know. But that's how long it's going to take to cover everything that is on the card. And I'm excited to be able to cover it and bring people on the show and give you guys something to listen to, whether you're at work or whether you are just relaxing, maybe on a beach somewhere. and you are bringing me along with you. I want to thank you guys. And I tweeted this out earlier this week too, that you know, this show is growing. We just passed 75,000 downloads, and that doesn't include like live listenings. This is just downloads, which is pretty damn cool. And you know, I understand that there are many, many more successful podcasts out there, and you know, some may snicker at that number, but I think that it's a milestone. We're closing in on 100,000 downloads very soon, and I'm not tuning my own horn. The point of me bringing this up is to thank you guys for making this show a success, and really being able to share my thoughts with you and allow me to do so is pretty damn cool. And I know that this show could be better. I'm trying to make it better. I know that some of the ads get in the way that you guys are listening to, but there's always an option there. You just go to patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want the ads removed. And you can do that for just a dollar. You can get rid of all of those ads for a dollar and not listen to anything but just me. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's the way that you can remove those ads if you're not a fan. And I understand. No problem. So that's kind of the intro, guys. I'm going to get to so much stuff on Raw and SmackDown. Just so many things. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, like 8 or 9 bullets that I want to get to. I'm actually right now, currently as we speak, I'm traveling for my job. You know, my real job, the one that I don't like, and this is the one that I do. So I don't have a ton of time. I have to wrap that this thing up relatively quickly, but I'm going to get to everything that I can get to and not talk really fast and let you guys absorb it. And obviously on Sunday will be another show that I do. It's either the What If or it's the Wrestling Nostalgia Show. Maybe I'll do the What If. I haven't done that one in a while. I had a request for that. So yeah, maybe I'll do a What If this Sunday. And you guys can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And if you like this show and you want to help, but you don't want to pay for anything, cool. You just head on over to Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you can rate this show and give me a 5-star rating. That's it. You just hit those 5 stars and you've helped out the show. And it really is a huge, huge help. So I want to thank you guys again for making this show such a success. And, you know, I don't think we've seen anything yet. I really believe that this is just the beginning of a long, successful project and passion that I have, and I'm excited to share it with you guys. So, all right, enough of that. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get to all of the craziness that is Raw and SmackDown from this week, as we are 10 days away from WrestleMania 35. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. Would you like to increase your cash flow? Kind of a stupid question, right? Who wouldn't? Well, I would encourage you guys to go to 247forlife.com. That's 247forlife.com. And when you go to the site, you can just put in your email, some basic info, and you can get hooked up into an amazing opportunity where it will help you do just that, increase your cash flow. Why is it, you know, look, when you think about it, why is it that some people just seem to make money no matter what the economic climate is, while the rest of us have trouble even scraping by? Well, 3% of the population controls 97% of the wealth in the free world today. Think about that. 3% controls 97% of the wealth. So what are they doing that we're not? Head over to 247forlife.com. Again, this is not some get-rich-quick scheme. You just go to the site, enter your basic information, and you get free instant access to the most powerful wealth creation system on the internet today. It'll get you a lot closer to that 3% group. Remember, guys, they control 97% of the money. So check out 247forlife.com. You'll be glad you did. So you guys know that I love wrestling, but another passion that I have that you may or may not know about is fitness and health and wellness. I think it's extremely important. And I recently found this website. It's 99SARMS. It's 99SARMS.com. So what exactly is on this website? Well, it's got some awesome products, everything to help you with cognition, to mood and focus, to your workouts. It has anti-aging and recovery, GH peptides, and some awesome products to help you with building muscle or burning fat. Check out 99SARMS.com. That's 99SARMS.com. These products have been rated top-notch. They will help you get results quickly and safely, more importantly. So check out 99sarms.com. It'll help you reach the impossible that you didn't think you could reach. It's the highest impurity and above all, high quality products. So check out 99sarms.com today. Okay, welcome back. Thank you guys for staying here, and let's get into just it's got to be the top talking point of the week, and that is Charlotte winning the SmackDown Women's Championship. I mean, I didn't see it coming. I don't know anybody that did see this coming. It definitely got a buzz. It created a just an explosion on Twitter, and rightfully so. The match itself, I think, was amazingly great. I mean, it was again, Asuka shows you why she was in the position she was being champion, and Charlotte shows you again why she is at the top of the food chain in the women's division, and they put on a very good match, pay-per-view quality match. I really enjoyed it. As much as I am puzzled by Charlotte winning, there are several theories out there, and some of the theories are that it's so that Charlotte, as Becky set her up, that Charlotte's not bringing anything to this. You know, I'm bringing the title, or that Ronda's bringing the title, and Charlotte's not bringing anything. Well, now she is. Now she's bringing the SmackDown Women's Championship. And there are several theories out there. Well, she's now making this relevant by she's a SmackDown Women's Champion. So she has a foothold and a reason to be in this match, not beyond the fact that she was just handpicked by Vince McMahon. And also that we have Charlotte Flair in this, so that we can unify the titles. And, you know, I've heard that theory. I don't agree with unifying the championships. I think that each brand needs to have a women's champion, just as each brand for the men have a champion. I don't think unifying the titles is where WWE is headed. I really don't believe that. Now, is it impossible? No. Do I think that they still may go there? Yeah, but I wouldn't bank on it. I don't think it's a smart business move. That SmackDown Women's Championship is relatively new in the grand scheme of championships existence. And I think that having a SmackDown Women's Champion and having a Raw Champion allows the women on each brand to strive for something, and not just be kind of flapping out there in the wind and battling each other over personal issues. There needs to be a title. There needs to be a destination, a goal, a something that every woman on that roster is striving to achieve. And if you take that away and just have a floating champion where she is floating between Raw and SmackDown and only is on a single brand every couple of months, I don't think it helps out. While I understand and I agree that there are too many championships in general, unifying this championship, since there's still the roster split, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And if they end up getting rid of this brand split, which I don't think they should, then it would make more sense. It would make more sense that you have a unification of the belts. But then what about the men's champion? What about the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship? I mean, so I don't think they're going to go there. Now, whether Charlotte puts her belt on the line in the match is another story. I think that somehow she will. I just don't know how that happens in the match in terms of logistics. So is the first pinfall for the SmackDown Women's Championship and the second pinfall is for the Raw Women's Championship? I don't know. I don't know how they get there. But having both belts on the line, I mean, on paper, sure, it ups the ante. But I don't know if this is just adding another layer to the most convoluted women's storyline in the history of WWE. When in all storylines of women in WWE, this one was the most successful when it wasn't so damn convoluted. Think about this. When you guys just think about where we came from. We came from everyone wanting to see Becky and Ronda. Period. To it was Charlotte and Ronda at Survivor Series. To Becky interjecting herself into the Royal Rumble when she wasn't even a participant and beating Charlotte and winning. And then also, don't forget that Becky tapped to Asuka that same night, which to me still made zero sense. And I think still hurt her, regardless of the fact that it was overshadowed by her winning the Rumble. And then you have the hottest, probably the crescendo so far of this entire feud of Becky the next night on Raw coming face to face with Ronda Rousey. To Ronda going rogue and turning heel and calling the business fake and that everything they do is fake. To Becky getting arrested, Becky being injured for 18 weeks, Charlotte interjecting herself, Mr. McMahon picking Charlotte out of nowhere, Becky being suspended for 60 days, and now Charlotte wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. So how is that going to play in? On top of Becky barely getting any promo time, and when she does, it's not a top-notch promo almost ever now. She does not throw those verbal barbs as she used to. And I don't know if that's a lack of creative writing for her, or if they're just trying to keep her cool down for a particular reason, which I think they are, or I don't know. But Becky does not feel as hot as she did the night after the Rumble. I mean, at all. It's quite jarring to think about it. And I don't know where they're going with this. Charlotte is no doubt one of the best performers in WWE. One of the best wrestlers. I don't want to use corporate speak. One of the best wrestlers in WWE. And to have her in this match, I know why they're doing it. And now she's the women's SmackDown Women's Champion. So they're trying to just make this the biggest ever. It's bizarre. And furthermore, I noticed that WWE has said that this is the first time ever that the women are going to main event WrestleMania. Notice how suddenly there's only one main event. Interesting, right? How the, to me, and look, I totally agree that there's a single main event. This nonsense that there, well, you can have more than one main event. Really? Really? So the match that goes on last, you wouldn't consider a main event. Or you wouldn't consider the main event. There's no such thing as the main event. It's just multiple main events. Nonsense. It's garbage. It's corporate speak. It's to make people feel better. There's a single main event. There are semi-main events. There's such thing as semi-main events. That's a plural term. But when it comes to main event, it is a singular term. And it's funny how WWE has changed their language over the past few weeks after just throwing this announcement over all media outlets that they possibly could to make sure that they're keeping up with the sickeningly progressive media bias that is out there. I'm not going to get into politics, but it sure fit the narrative that all news outlets want to fulfill, and this feeds that narrative of women. Look at women doing this. Oh my God. And look, I love the women main event in WrestleMania. That's not the issue. It's just such a political move. It feels icky. It feels icky. I don't know why. I want the women to main event WrestleMania. I love it. I think it's deserving. No question. That's not the issue, okay? But this storyline is convoluted. And convoluted even sounds simplistic when you think about this storyline. I mean, it doesn't even do service to call this convoluted. It is just mind-numbing at times to see what are they doing? What are they doing? I don't understand. And I just want to get to the match at this point. And I'm sure next week they will finally give us exactly what the stipulations. I'm sure there'll be more than one to keep us guessing. And just so that we can finally get through this match. I mean, I did not want to rush through this match. I still don't want to rush through it. I'm trying to force myself to not do that. It is just, it's getting difficult to not want to just be like, oh my God, I can't take this anymore. I can't follow the logic that is going on behind the scenes at these creative meetings or creative conference calls or wherever these creative discussions are happening. I can't get my mind and wrap my mind into that because I don't see how any of this makes any sense at all. Oh, well, it all makes sense at WrestleMania. No, it won't. I can guarantee you that coming out of WrestleMania will be more confused than going into WrestleMania. Or as confused. It's just, don't be surprised if there's a third party, too, or a fourth party in this case, interjecting themselves into this match, or Vince McMahon making himself a special referee, or something bizarre. I mean, that's what this storyline has conditioned me to believe, that I don't even know what to expect anymore. And that's not what I want. That unexpectedness and unpredictability is not a good thing in this case. Just make it straightforward. I don't agree with the triple threat, but at least if you're going to do it, go straightforward. Just give us the background on these three women. Sit down interviews, video packages. Just give me something that is something I can, as a fan, just tell me what time it is, not how to make the watch, as Jim Ross would say. It's true. It's true. Not that we all have simple minds, but let's be honest, when we're watching wrestling, we don't want to have to think too hard. We just want to be, I hate to use this corporate word, entertained, but it's true. We want to enjoy the show. We want to get emotionally invested, but we don't want to have to think too hard about what. Why are they doing that? In this case, this is the most convoluted storyline. If someone were to map this on a timeline, there would be like, you know, 40 different branches coming off of the single line, you know, from A to B. There'd be A to C to E to E to X to Y to L to W. I mean, and then all the way to, oh, there's B. Let's get to B over here. Yeah, we'll get there. But let's not make it easy. Why? Why? Oh, goodness. All right. Moving on to the Kofi Kingston win. And, you know, last week I defended WWE. I said that I understand why people are frustrated and that we all know that eventually Kofi's going to get Daniel Bryan. We all know it's happening. We just don't know how. And people were frustrated. Oh, my God, just get to it. Well, isn't that part of it? We want to be frustrated. We all know it's going to happen, but it's sometimes more enjoyable when you get there. Well, in this case, with New Day, and when I say New Day, Big E and Xavier Woods really being the two to get Kofi into this main event, it's not as satisfying as last week would have been had Kofi overcome those odds and Vince McMahon not come out and screwed him, having Daniel Bryan beat him for the final fall in that gauntlet hour-long match. Yet last week would have been the time to pull the trigger. Now, that's all hindsight. We got what we wanted, and is any of this really going to matter when we get to WrestleMania? I don't think so, because the fans are still behind him, and the fans want to see him succeed. However, I'm concerned. The reason I say I'm concerned is not match quality. I think these two are going to put on maybe the match of the night. I'm really, really excited to see what these two can do, given enough time. And I'm more concerned for Vince McMahon's language that he's been using over the past few weeks that nobody's picked up on. Nobody said anything. Nobody has brought to the forefront. Vince McMahon has not said that Kofi Kingston will go to WrestleMania to face Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. He just keeps saying, well, Kofi will go to WrestleMania. Kofi's going to go to WrestleMania if he wins. Kofi will go to WrestleMania if he wins. Well, great. I'm sure he'd go to WrestleMania either way. Going to WrestleMania doesn't mean you're going to be on the show in the championship match. Is anybody else picking up on this? Vince McMahon educated us to be careful and pay attention to his words. Well, I'm doing that. And I'm a bit concerned for Kofi right now and the fans. So even if Vince McMahon comes out at WrestleMania or even next week on SmackDown Live and says, Kofi, you know, I did say you were going to WrestleMania and you are to, I don't know, clean the bathrooms. You know, he could say something like that. And so there could be one more last minute turn. I'm concerned for that. I really am concerned for that because the language that has been used has been consistent that Kofi's going to WrestleMania. Well, to do what? To do what? And furthermore, Kofi not standing up for himself on SmackDown Live, letting Big E and Xavier Woods come out there and do the talking for him, and Kofi coming out smiling, not a fan. Not a fan. Oh, they're just here to entertain. Yeah. Really? Well, if you just lost the biggest opportunity in your career, you're just going to keep smiling coming out there? That makes me not... It makes you unrelatable. I'm sorry. But that's just, I don't know, that's just my little take and thing that I noticed. But, you know, Kofi didn't say a word. He didn't stand up to Vince McMahon. And nobody was skeptical of, well, I'm doing running another gauntlet. And if you two win in the tag team gauntlet match, Kofi's in. Well, how do we know that you're not going to screw us again? There's just, it's making the babyfaces look stupid by not having something in writing, by being very careful and listening to what Vince McMahon says, there's just a little bit of a couple holes in this story that is it's concerning, and it makes them look foolish at times. And I would have liked to see Kofi just stand up to Vince and, you know, say, I'm putting everything on the line. Let me sign a contract. And if I lose, I'm done. Something like that. But unfortunately, Triple H basically took that storyline, and we'll get to that. So again, you know, that's just, it was a little concerning for me, but ultimately I think Kofi will get there. Even if there's a last minute turn next week or even at WrestleMania itself, there could be a turn. I think we still get Kofi versus Daniel Bryan. I don't know where Vince McMahon's going with this. I don't understand what's the end game here? Where are we going? What's the destination? It can't be Kofi versus Vince. Vince McMahon can't even cut a decent promo half the time now. He mumbles. He seems kind of disconnected from reality at times. And I don't mean that in a good way. Vince McMahon is not Vince McMahon anymore. No, you know, 90% of the time, he seems disengaged. Kind of like he's just floating out there. Doesn't remember what to say or doesn't say things with conviction. It's bizarre to see Vince McMahon in 2019 when you know the Vince McMahon of 1998 to 2005 when he was in his prime and at least cutting promos and being the villain of the show. It's distracting, and I'd like to see Vince, and whatever. I don't know. I think that Vince McMahon is a little bit disconnected. I think age is getting to him, and I don't think it's part of the storyline. He is just seems disengaged and just not there mentally. It's weird to see. But anyway, so that's just my take on Kofi. Do I think Kofi wins at Mania? I don't know yet. I will give you my thoughts on that next week with my predictions. And one more little thing on Charlotte. What did she do to deserve the championship match again? Well, you can say, she's at the top of the WrestleMania card. She's already main eventing WrestleMania. She's got a hell of a resume. Well, that's all wonderful, but that doesn't automatically grant you a championship match. You don't just get, you just hand-pick, cherry-pick to be in there just because of your resume. There has to be a qualifying match. Who did this? And I like how the announcers at least address this. I don't think the storyline follow-up will do anything with it because I don't believe the WWE will follow up. I don't. But what did Charlotte do to deserve it? And furthermore, if your argument to me is, well, Charlotte, look at Charlotte, look what she's done. She's, a five-time SmackDown Women's Champion. She's, she's main eventing WrestleMania. She's been here for how many years? Look what she's done, all the great matches she's put on. All true. But if you're going to tell me that the resume is the qualifying factor for somebody getting a championship match without having to earn it, well, what did Dana Brooke do to deserve the Raw Women's Championship match? What did Ruby Riott do to deserve a back-to-back women's championship match against Ronda Rousey? Tell me, please. I'm begging you. So I think that argument goes in the garbage. I don't know if they'll ever follow up on why Charlotte was granted a match. Maybe they will. And the reason I'm a little bit hopeful they will is because of the fact that the announcers were actually harping on it more than once during that match, which is true. I mean, and really the side effect here and the collateral damage is Asuka. The fact that she has been just swept under the rug since defeating Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble, making Becky Lynch tap out, which I still don't agree with, but if you're going to do it, at least have Asuka own it and at least have her ride that momentum through the next pay-per-view. Well, what did they do? They took Asuka off TV for about a month. Nobody was challenging for the SmackDown Women's Championship. She was all but forgotten. And it's doing a disservice to Asuka. She can't cut the greatest promos in the world. She's awkward on the mic. Her inflection's bizarre. Her facials are cartoonish. I get all that, but she is one of the best workers, and she's got a decent gimmick. She's got a great intro. All of that. So she's got, 9 out of the 10 points to be a star. And they've done a disservice with her by making the SmackDown Women's Championship all but irrelevant up until this past week. And maybe that was the plan. I doubt it. But it's not fair. Oh, life isn't fair. Well, you know what? To Asuka, there's more women in the WWE than Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda. You have to think about the long term here. And Asuka is she is collateral damage here, and she's a hell of a worker. But we'll see what they do with her at Mania, and the rest of the SmackDown women, for that matter. Okay, another point here I want to make about Samoa Joe. Man, what? Look, I'm a Samoa Joe fan. I love his look. I like his promos. I like his body work from Ring of Honor. I think that he is one of the more authentic personalities in WWE. But I was, you know, since they brought him in, he was originally Triple H's heavy. I loved him then. When he was involved with Seth Rollins, and then he goes on. His next big mark was really the match with Brock Lesnar, which I think he was done a great job with. And then he gets in programs with, you know, Jeff Hardy, and ends up losing almost every single program that he has with every performer. And then he wins the United States Championship. I thought, okay, great. They are now going to redefine Joe. He finally wins a championship in WWE. They're going to redefine him. They're going to re-engage him, repackage him, and he's going to be this monster heel that you fear, or that other guys fear, that little kids fear. And what did they do? They've had him lose every single match since he won the United States Championship. Every one. Joe's win-loss record is awful. Awful. And, well, wins and losses don't matter. Yes, they do. Especially if you want us to believe in a simulated sports environment where, in every other sport, guess what matters? Wins and losses. So if you're going to try to sell me the fact that wins and losses don't matter here, well, then I'm disengaged and I don't care because, well, what do these programs even mean? Who cares who wins or loses? Because at the end of the day, it's all about just being entertained. Oh, that is such... That makes me cringe saying that. So, I'm losing faith in WWE Creative to really push Joe to his potential and show us what Joe can be. And the fact is that Joe is not, green bananas here. He is at the back end of his career. I don't want to say it's now or never for Joe, but it's getting damn close. It is getting damn close. So, I just want to see Joe go on a tear. I want to see him run through people. He needs to go on a hot streak, start an undefeated streak with Joe, something. They are severely, severely underutilizing Samoa Joe by having him job out week after week. I know he has the championship, but that really doesn't mean much when the champion continues to lose in non-title matches. So, okay, moving on to the Triple H promo on Batista. I know that Triple H was kind of winking and nodding to those who are criticizing the Batista promo that from a couple of weeks before, when he's saying, "Give me what I want, give me what I want, give me what I want," basically repeating his line because he probably forgot his other lines. And so Triple H was saying that he got a legal notice from Batista's attorneys, and that he said, and I quote, "Give me what I want, give me what I want, what I really, really want." So he was basically giving a wink and nod that, yeah, hey, yeah, that was a promo that was effed up, and that I'm going to make light of it here. And also trying to pull the envelope out of his jacket saying, he's going to do the job for the envelope. So he's now using insider terminology for an on-air blunder. Please don't do that. Please, I don't need it. But again, Triple H is immune when it comes to the company backlash. So anyway, so Triple H comes out there and basically says that, I'll put my career on the line for you. It ends up doing it because of the fact that, well, if I can't beat you, then I really shouldn't be in this ring anyway. Kind of akin to Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at WrestleMania 26, when Shawn said that, "If I can't beat you, I have no career." Well, yeah, it's true. And I do understand the logic. I don't mind it. I like it. I don't think that Triple H will end up losing this match now. I really don't think so. Quick spoiler there, because I just don't believe that Triple H would want to retire against Batista. And I think that every time WrestleMania comes around, he's going to get the itch to get back in the ring. All right, now let me just talk about another individual that has had a hell of a fall from grace, and that's Braun Strowman. And really Shinsuke Nakamura, for that matter, who has been all but forgotten as well. Main eventing WrestleMania last year to losing tag team matches with Rusev on a weekly basis and getting zero promo time. And wow, has Shinsuke Nakamura fallen? And Braun Strowman is right behind him. I mean, they're right behind each other, falling down this pit of abyss. And that's not a good thing. I think both have something to offer. I think Shinsuke has really under-delivered in WWE, despite the fact that he was one of the top guys in New Japan. He's known all over the world. His promos, I think, were improving as time went on, and he turned heel and then, you know, kind of went into oblivion. And Braun Strowman, on the other hand, was supposed to main event against Brock Lesnar, ends up destroying Vince's limo, gets pulled from that, and we haven't heard from Braun Strowman since, basically. You know, he's kind of a one-trick pony, it seems like, or at least that's how he's been booked, that he just kind of destroys stuff and, you know, tips big things over and just does monster stuff. And he talks like this. And it's, I need a little more dimension. I need a little bit more substance to his character other than just, I big monster, I eat lots of food and destroy big things. I mean, that's what it feels like. And he seems kind of like a prehistoric caveman with little intelligence other than just knowing how to destroy things. And I need more from Braun. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that. And now Braun Strowman is joining the class of oblivion and getting involved with these Saturday Night Live goofballs. And that's just what they are. They're goofballs. And they now entered themselves into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Never mind the fact that it was supposed to be this prestigious honor to be not only involved in the match, but to win the match. And you're having two people, two individuals who have never competed in WWE, ever, involved in a match that has Andre the Giant attached to it. It's embarrassing. It's straight embarrassing. Braun Strowman deserved better at WrestleMania. I don't even care if he faced John Cena. I think Braun Strowman has gotten the shaft when it comes to this year's WrestleMania from where he was. And he's now dealing with these two goofballs at Saturday Night Live. Anytime you bring in a celebrity, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. They are, as Jim Ross would say, I quote him a lot, a cow on ice. They don't know up from down. They are green as hell. They embarrass themselves, which is embarrassing to the product. It's going to most likely be eye rolling. It's just never a good thing to bring in a celebrity from a physical perspective in most cases, not all. Drew Carey was an exception. Pete Rose was an exception with Kane. I think they did a good job there. Even Bob Barker did an okay as guest host of Raw a number of years ago. But when you're bringing them into a match, man, and you're now devaluing the match itself by bringing these two fools in from Saturday Night Live and putting them in a match that has Andre the Giant attached to it. I mean, think about that. It's maddening. So, yeah, Braun Strowman is on a collision course for oblivion. Okay, now Shane McMahon and The Miz. I think these two have done as good a job as you probably could have expected at this point with Shane turning heel. I agree with Shane turning heel. I don't think many people expected that. I like it. I still think that Shane is better as a heel. Having The Miz come out there this past week and run through basically 15 guys, a little unbelievable. Not really believable, but I get it. And, you know, Shane seemed a little concerned and ended up walking up the ramp as The Miz was chasing him down. And The Miz is doing the best he can to get the crowd on his side. He's doing the best that he can to engage the audience and turn the crowd against Shane. And for the most part, I think it's been mildly successful. The problem is, in the uphill battle that The Miz has, is he's been established as a heel for so long that the audience is just waiting for the other shoe to drop and that The Miz is going to turn his back on the audience. So just like with Kevin Owens, who's been defined as a heel since day one, it's hard to get behind a guy that you've seen time and time and time again set the crowd up just to turn on them and you know, give them a spit in the face. I mean, so it is a little bit difficult for the crowd to fully get behind and trust The Miz just with Kevin Owens, who doesn't have a WrestleMania match as of yet either. And so we'll see about that. But I think that they're doing an okay job with this, a good job. I'm looking forward to the match more than some are right now. And I expect, since The Miz had put the stipulation that this is going to be a false count anywhere match, you know, just as every other match on the card probably is, with Batista and Triple H also following suit. I mean, it's just interesting. I think that this is going to be a good match. I'm actually looking forward to this match, unlike some. I really am. I don't think it has a chance to steal the show, but I think it could be a very good, entertaining match that we get a satisfying ending to, with Shane getting his ass kicked. And I'm cool with that. I think that you'll have the Miz's dad show up, maybe get some revenge there, and we'll move on. So the Elias deal. Look, I'm getting a little bit tired of the Elias gimmick. Is he even a wrestler at this point? Or is he just kind of this wannabe musician? I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. His bit is worn out. It's worn out as welcome and fast. He doesn't compete anymore. He's just kind of doing this random guitar gig at different places and thinking that he's bigger than he is. And I get all that he's delusional, and I understand the psychology behind that. But this guy needs to have a match once in a while. Like, give us something. And I know that right now he doesn't need to be in matches because he's setting himself up for WrestleMania and doing a musical bit, only to get interrupted by probably The Rock or Undertaker, or even Stone Cold, and get his ass kicked, and the crowd goes home happy. That segment with Elias is all to set up a return for a legend and someone to, or maybe all three. I mean, who knows? Elias could get absolutely destroyed by multiple legends on this show, but it's probably going to be The Rock, Undertaker, or John Cena. I don't see Stone Cold coming out for that, but hell, I'm a Stone Cold fan. I'd love to see it. And that's really where Elias stands at this point. And I don't know. I would just like to see him after WrestleMania get into a match or two, instead of just coming out there and strumming a guitar and, you know, running down every city that he's in. Something, please, please. Okay. So this last point I want to make is Kurt Angle. And I really think that Kurt Angle versus Corbin is probably still going to happen, regardless of fan backlash. I think it's still going to happen. I think that Kurt Angle, is it time. I mean, when you see him in the ring, he's... look, I'm a Kurt Angle fan. Yeah, he should have retired a long time ago. It's hard to see him like this because he moves in very slow motion. He's a quarter of the speed he used to be in the ring. I feel bad. I feel sad watching Kurt Angle at this point in his career. I feel sad. He's hanging on. At least he recognizes that this is his last match and should be his last match. If it's against Baron Corbin and it ends up staying that way, could John Cena be a last-minute substitute? Could Undertaker be a last-minute substitute? I mean, sure, it could be. But I still think it's going to be Corbin. And we get an ankle lock tap out to the crowd cheering and saying, thank you, Kurt, thank you, Kurt. And he rides off into the sunset, and we all go home happy. So, I'm fine with that. I think that it is a fitting end to Kurt's career. Could it be a bit against a bigger name? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, it could. So that's what I think. One more thing I want to say is, and please, WWE, after the women's main event WrestleMania, that's the crescendo. That's the main event. That is as high as you can go. Can we stop saying the women are making history doing X, or the first time ever doing X? I mean, this is it. This is it, right? Please. I just can't handle the corporate politics that go into all of these first ever women's and historic this and that. So, all right. That's all I got for you guys today. That is the WWE Podcast, and I want to thank you guys for listening. Again, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, and give me a 5-star rating and review if you think I deserve it, and I really do appreciate it. I'll be back Sunday for a review of No, not a review. A what-if segment. And I will be doing a topic where I explore the possibilities of what-if, meaning I can go in the past and say, for example, what if Stone Cold never turned heel? Or looking forward and saying, what if Ronda Rousey retains at WrestleMania? So there's lots of possibilities there. That's why it's what if. It's all hypothetical, but it's fun to explore. And I'll be doing that this Sunday. And so keep an eye out for that. As always, please follow the show. Please give me a 5-star rating. And thank you guys, everybody. The show is doing great. And I want to thank you. As always, I'll talk to you next time.